Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
So my current routine is Wordle, which is guessing countries of the world by their shape, which is good. Wordle 2, which is six letters, but it's not as good. Then Hurdle, which is songs, a little few seconds of them. Then Quirdle, which is probably my favourite, which is four consecutive Wordles. You're solving them all at the same time. And then Octordle, which is eight consecutive Wordles, which is a bit too much.
Ooh, we should have a rugby playdle.
Yeah, there is. So I've not played it. There's Joodle, which is Jewish words. It's the same thing. And there's Loodle as well, which is rude words.
Excellent.
Is there a rugby version of it that we could do?
No, but there's not yet. But we'll talk about this in more detail in the podcast. Rugby playdle.
Hello, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. I'm Tim, that's JB.
Hello, Tim.
That's Phil.
Hello, Tim.
And we have... JB is delighted that we've got rid of the international podcast and we're on to domestic matters on this one, the main event for you.
To focus on actual real rugby.
Although there was one email, actually, which I just want to touch on briefly, that came in as we were just finishing up recording the international podcast. From Mike Ford.
The Mike Ford.
Well, he's
Mikey from Bath.
It says Mike from Bath.
Mike from Bath. It can't be anyone else.
Can't think.
It must be. Yeah.
It must be the Mike Ford. But
well, we know he's a listener.
Certainly someone called Mike Ford. Just says, love the pod, blah, blah, blah. definitely Mike Ford. just wanted to give you guys an update from Madrid. Given Russia have ruined your trip to Portugal, I thought I'd share my own experience of rugby Europe Championship.
It. Yeah, well, no. I'm sure we'll still do okay.
Yeah.
My parents were visiting for the weekend, and given my dad is a massive Norse, I thought, I assume that word's meant to be rugby. What better gift than to spend €10 on a ticket for the Rugby World Cup to the Rugby World Cup decider between Spain and Portugal? The game was high intensity, massive hits, and at times France-esque skill-wise, and as a Bath fan, infinitely better than I'm used to seeing. Spain with a better team fully deserved the pitch invasion at the end, which even as a hard-nosed Englishman I couldn't help get emotional out. A special shout to the Portugal 9 who ran the game from start to finish and the fans who travelled over from Lisbon who gave me four cans of beer.
Good
grassroots
lads.
Rugby at its finest. Get over to one of these soon. We've been over before and hey, listen, we'll be over there again soon, and tier 2 tours are what we're all about.
Yes.
And if you're in Lisbon, JB and Phil will be out there this weekend.
Yeah, come buy us beers.
Give us a shout.
Yeah. Fire us a tweet. That's the best way to get
at Rugby Podcast. It is the best way this weekend.
At Rugby Podcast, we're contacthedchasers@gmail.com. This podcast, however, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing, for leaving a 5-star review, for patreon.com/eggchasers, supporting us there. This is about domestic matters, and I'm just going to tick off first order of business. This weekend, again, the difference between how excited I was about the championship a couple of weeks ago and I've been raving about it. What a great game there was this weekend with Doncaster, top of the table, up against Cornish Pirates, third with an outside chance of getting top spots still. And this should have been an absolutely enormous game, and PRL, RFU, whoever it was in their infinite wisdom have just completely taken any momentum out of the sails. And I find that regretful. So just to cement that point.
What were the games in the championship? Because I don't look at the championship.
Doncaster.
I know you do.
Doncaster Cornish Pirates.
Beat Cornish Pirates.
22-15.
Got the bonus point in doing so. So the table at the minute is still Doncaster at the top with two rounds to go.
I think Doncaster have got one game to go. Ealing, who are 2 points behind them, they do have two games to go. And then Cornish Pirates, they've got three games, but they are 6 points behind Ealing. So it's in Ealing's hands still.
Correct. But the next game is Cornish Pirates at home to Ealing.
That'd be awesome.
Hang on.
Is that right?
So Cornish Pirates travel to Ealing in 2 weeks.
My mistake.
Yeah.
Well, the mighty Toc H were at Eccles this week. To maintain our unbeaten league streak, although we have lost one in the cup, which is the end of the cup run, unfortunately. Tough old game.
Tough place to go, Eccles.
It really is. It really is. There's so many teams in North West which are just hard teams to beat, and these are a hard team to beat. I'm feeling it today. I'm getting too old for this. So bloody difficult.
You're in the shadow of the AJ Bell at Eccles, aren't you?
Yeah. The AJ Bell could hear the roars from the Eccles Stadium.
And you got him for a try as well this weekend, didn't you?
I should have got three, really. 2-1 kick chase on. I got held over on a pick and go. Unbelievable.
And there's a big win at the top of the table for National 2 North for Sedgley Park.
Now, have you seen who Sedgley got next week?
What did they do this weekend first?
They put 50 points on Stourbridge.
Yeah,
smashed. Astonishingly, yeah.
And next week
that's a hell of a result. Hull.
Yeah, so that means those two positions switch around then.
Who, Hull and Sedgley?
I think so.
No, Sedgley are 11 points behind them.
Oh, are they?
According to the table that I'm currently looking at, this may be wrong.
Interesting.
But if Sedgley win that, then Sedgley do have a game in hand as well.
So I've got some gossip from the Northern Premier.
Ooh, is that the one that you guys are in? No.
No, Northern Premier is that's Grasshoppers.
Otley and Preston. Yeah.
So Otley running away with it, still in their hands. Preston are...
Talking to the mic.
Preston are 3 points 3 points behind them. I heard that Preston Grasshoppers coach, Byron McGuigan, has gone to Rosendale, which is a scandal, because Preston smashed Rosendale this week by about 60 points. So Preston had beaten Otley, who were at the top of the table. Week before that, they got a 99-point win against Kirby Lonsdale, I think.
Yeah, it was Kirby Lonsdale.
And this week, a 60-0 win against...
Rosendale. 67-0.
Not so long ago, they beat Blackburn by a hair's breadth. So, yeah, that's a good league. That's a really, really good league, actually. And also, I think Caldy are basically looking... Caldy, if there was relegation promotion, right, it looks like Caldy going to the Championship. They won't blow that.
National One going into the Championship.
National One is. So Sale FC set up something like third, I think. So it's Caldy, FC, I think Rams are up there as well. I'm not sure exactly who.
Caldy, Roslyn Park, Sale, Cambridge, Cinderford, Rams. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So there was a point in time where if the league stopped, Sale FC go to the Championship, and Bath also come down to the Championship. Bath returning to what's it called?
Hayward Road,
which would be wonderful.
That would be good.
Yes. But I'd be quite happy to see Bath at Caldy.
Yeah.
Either way, that's a hell of a jump up for Caldy.
It is. They've been a good club. They put a bit of money in there a few years ago.
Do you think they should get their nickname and make it into their brand if they go any higher?
What?
Ravers.
Oh, yeah, they're called the Ravers.
I don't know where it comes from, but I think the Ravers is a cool name.
I like that. Yeah. I like that a lot. So, yes, there's a bit of some of the local rugby. I love looking down at the lower tables now. It's great.
Yeah.
Albion got beat.
Again. Same third from bottom.
Did the incredibly well coached Richmond pack get one over? They did. They won again. And guess who scored again?
I saw this. Mark Bright.
Mark Bright.
15 tries. He's top try scorer in the league.
I think I've aimed a little bit too low in my life. So I've always wanted to be the level 8 Louis Pickamon. That was always my goal. But that was aiming too low. I need to be the level 8 Mark Bright. Keep going until 42.
And keep going after that.
It's,
well, he's not. Doesn't sound like he's retiring.
15 tries, age 42 or 43.
That's incredible. 43.
15 tries, and he, assuming he's even if he's played every game, that's 18 games. It's unreal.
43. It'll be 44 this year.
Come on.
What?
Oh, do you know who was in Manchester this week? A legend who played high level sport till late in his 40s. Early in his 40s.
Oh, Tom Brady.
Tom Brady was here.
I saw a picture of him with Cristiano Ronaldo.
Tom Brady was here.
Yeah, Tom Brady's around knocking about.
Yeah, did he stop into the dungeon for an espresso?
Do you know who he was with? Or we got a picture with?
I saw Ronaldo, but no others.
Ronaldo and Mickey Thomas. Do you remember him?
Mickey Thomas.
Played football for Wales.
Oh, and some of the stories about Mickey Thomas are amazing.
They are amazing. Oh, so he, do you come across him at TalkSport?
Yes.
Yes.
No, it was not TalkSport, but yeah, through radio, yes. Because he...
there's not really much we can say, is there, without worrying about getting amazing. Sued or beaten up.
He was playing for Chelsea, and he was living in North Wales.
Yeah, he still does.
Yeah, I know. But he was finding the commute a bit too much. Travelling from up there, right in Colwyn Bay.
Yeah.
So he was up in Colwyn Bay, travelling all the way to West London for training, and he was finding the commute a little bit too much.
I'm not surprised.
So he moved to Wrexham.
That's amazing. It's amazing you found a story we can tell about Mickey Thomas. Yeah, it was good.
He got pulled over by the police and had lots of cash in his car. His autobiographies and his after dinner speaking are amazing. So
I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
God, he's got some. I've just looked him up. He's got some list of clubs here. So Wrexham, Man United, Everton, Brighton, Stoke, Chelsea, West Brom, Derby, Wichita Wings in Major League Soccer, then back to Shrewsbury. Leeds United, Stoke City, then Wrexham, and finally finished at Port Madoc.
This is a weird one, right? So through rugby, I've had plenty of cool sporting experiences, which a lot of people would give their right arm for. But maybe the coolest, in hindsight, might be when I was no older than, say, 10, maybe younger than that, my dad took me to an Everton game. Now, my dad, weirdly, is into pigeons. He loves racing pigeons. And do you know who else loves racing pigeons?
I do.
Neville Southall.
Yeah, big
so,
Nev.
Yeah, so as he was walking through the Everton car park, who do we see? Neville Southall. And I didn't know what was going on, but big Nev took me through the players' entrance at Goodison on a match day, through the change rooms, back out, and then to hospitality.
Oh, wow.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That is really cool.
That is very, very cool.
That is very cool. I'm going to say one more cool thing before we get on to some substantive rugby stuff. You just mentioned Cristiano Ronaldo. Did you see the story about his statue in Madeira?
This is a long-standing story, isn't it?
Yes. Or it's Madeira Airport, right?
Has there been a
recent
update?
It's not the one where that's of his face, the bust, just looks ridiculous. No, this is a different one. This is in Madeira. It's a full-body statue that was built there. And it just has the statue's made of bronze, and one part of his body is extremely prominent.
Let's see.
Is it polished to a high shine?
Well, it was prominent already, but it looks even more prominent now because tourists have taken to rubbing it for good luck.
Yeah.
And so it's buffed and very, very shiny and looking even more prominent. I'm just trying to get a picture of it now.
It must be his foot with it being Cristiano Ronaldo, right? Has to be right foot.
He scores a lot of goals with his head.
Nice, yeah, that is very prominent.
He's a deceptively good header of the ball.
He
as
is.
Well.
He
incredible
is.
Leap on the man.
worth seeking that story out. Anyway, rugby.
Yes, rugby.
Good weekend in the Premiership. Enjoyed it very, very much. Enjoyed it actually.
Some great results. Much like England, an early red card. Had a contributing effect. I'm not going to say it caused Exeter to lose, but it certainly didn't help.
It didn't help them, did it? The
fair play, Worcester.
The diminutive Hendrickson getting his own
diminutive.
Fancied a high shot.
Yeah. Well, I said at the start of the season, I think Worcester will get 5 wins. They've got their 5 wins. They can pack up now. This is a massive improvement. I mean, what did they get last year? 2 wins?
Well, it might have been more, but I don't know how many of them were COVID wins.
Yeah, that,
they might have been
real wins.
I think we might have been one real win.
Yeah, they might have got one early doors, possibly two early doors.
Season, I think,
and then
I think not only first game of the season, it might have been Sale first game. I think Sale might have come a proper to them. Maybe I made that up.
Not sure.
Seems to ring true to me. Anyway, doesn't matter. I'm encouraged. I am encouraged. Second win under Diamond. They are chasing down Bristol Bears now. They're only, 2 points away? 2 points away, I think. It's a massive improvement. And it's
five points away now.
Oh, has it been updated?
Yeah.
It's a one win away from Bristol.
Yes.
But just a huge improvement. And it's also necessary because we can't have a team, particularly with lack of relegation, who are perennial bottom. It has to. If this no relegation's got to work, it's got to look different every single year. Which is why I'm kind of encouraged that Bristol and Bath are doing so rubbish. If it was the same teams down there year in, year out, you'd say it's failed. But early signs of encouragement.
Yeah. Now, just checking last year, Worcester got 4 wins, of which one was a COVID win against Quins, one was a COVID win against Newcastle, and another one was a COVID win against Gloucester. So they had 1 win.
Against?
Let's check that. London Irish, second round of the season. First round of the season.
I thought it was
London Irish by 1 point, 11-10. Didn't have to check too far for that, fortunately. Yeah. London Irish just disappointed they didn't get a draw.
Yeah, very disappointed.
Worcester played some nice stuff this week, scored some lovely tries, and deserved their win. Because Exeter, even with a man down, Henderson down for 65 minutes, they are still a good team.
Yeah.
And they've got some big boys in that pack as well.
Big, strong boys.
Are you buying the hype around Finn Smith? Do you think he is the second coming? Do you think he's the best Smith who plays 10 in England at the moment?
So, no, but I don't know. I've not seen anyone say that he is.
Diamond. Diamond says that.
Diamond might say that. I'm not saying anyone other than Steve Diamond. I've not actually seen Diamond say that.
Finn Smith's certainly better than the kid with the fancy name. Orlando Bailey, that's... that's how Diamond...
That was his quote, yeah.
That's how Diamond's referred to him. He looks fairly legitimate to me. I think what Diamond does really well is he finds potential stars in his squad and he makes them better. Like, when Sale were really struggling, they had one or two really key guys, and when they played, they did well. You can sort of see that coming now. Like, Ted Hill has to play. Finn Smith has to play. There'll be a handful of these guys.
Ted Hill's been like that for 3 seasons.
Yeah, that is fair.
And Finn Smith has been playing some nice stuff. I'm not sure I've seen enough of him to definitively say whether he's going to be the next thing since sliced bread. Not bad.
What has happened to Owen Williams when he's likely to be back?
No idea.
Because I...
Genuinely no idea.
They had a really good shot of climbing the table with Hines and...
Williams,
you know, pulling the strings because they're all bloody good. Williams, he got injured, but I've just not seen anything of him since.
Well, they had Ryan Mills, who was the same for them, and he was injured lots. But
Ryan Mills
still is injured lots.
Well, yeah, he was named in the team to play for Wasps today, and then dropped out before kickoff.
Yeah, is a guy who could play 12 for England.
Could have.
Not now.
At a point in time, yeah. Worcester as well doing it without their two Lions, which half of their playing budget is presumably going on.
yeah, it's true. What do you think of the situation regarding Van der... What's his name?
Duan.
Duan and his non-rescinded red.
I think it's ridiculous. I'm astonished. I said last week I thought he'd be overturned. I find it astonishing that that's given as a red card and then upheld.
Well, at least Worcester don't need to worry about him. Well, actually, it doesn't really matter to Worcester, does it? He's going to miss 2 Scotland games and he's back.
Pretty much he misses one, yeah.
Actually, it works in Worcester's favour.
To be fresh.
Yeah, he doesn't get the injury risk.
Yeah.
Before we go to the next game, email from Stephen Bottomley, long-time listener. Thank you, Stephen, for your support. Contact headchasers@gmail.com. You mentioned the phrase big strong boy.
BSBs.
You'll like this one. He said, I'm sure you receive plenty of emails this weekend about the Six Nations.
Loads.
And rightly so, loads we did. However, I want to write to you about something which I believe is more powerful and better demonstrates the impact of your podcast on your listeners. I'm a dad of two. My little boy, age four, picked up one up. So we need to remember that. We've got four-year-olds who are listening, whether they're just absorbing it by osmosis in the background or what. But my little boy, age four, picked up one of my dumbbells at the weekend. I don't know if that says more about him or me, and declared himself to be a, quote, big strong boy.
There we go.
It almost brought a tear to my eye. Whilst I'm gutted England lost today, it's comforting to know I might have the next Rohan Jansen van Rensburg on my hands.
Or Ben Hod.
If he's English, that's all good with me, Stephen. Please, we need him. Can we fast track him as in that position, please?
I assume Stephen just left his Eben Etzebeth specially made 75kg dumbbells lying on the floor that his four-year-old picked up.
What are the biggest dumbbells in... Because you've been in the Sale Sharks gym.
I haven't actually, not for a long time. I've been to the new one.
Because even a Pure Gym's got 50k dumbbells, so I'm wondering what the Premiership clubs have.
Probably not much more than that.
I
don't know what you'd need them for.
Curls.
Yeah, curls mostly.
Wrist curls.
I can't tell a story. I was going to tell a story, but I can't. I tell you what, though. I have got a bit of a dilemma at the moment. So I've got myself an Olympic bar outside. I just need to... Well, not actually outside, but four outside. And I need some weight plates on it. Now, my dilemma is, and it sounds so vain and stupid, but I am vain and stupid. Dilemma is, do I get branded weight plates because they look really cool, or do I just get blank weight plates?
Just the cheapest.
You like the neighbours, because your neighbour likes to watch you work out.
Yeah, she sits on a step and has some wine.
So yeah, you will be working out outside, won't you?
Yeah,
absolutely. So you want to make it easy while she's having her wine. You want to make it easy for her to know what you're lifting, so you need the red, yellow, blue, green.
Well, I like the branding, I like nice things, but here's why I mentioned it. I would pay a certain amount for a brand, but I pay an awful lot for branded extra heavy plates with Etzebeth written on the side. Like, if he's going to get into something now, I would license the name. I'd license my name and give it to, I don't know, Bulldog Gear or someone. Etzebeth.
30k plates, which no one makes.
Yeah, 30k plates only for Eben.
But what you want is you get the, is it black 5kg plates, but you paint them red. And then load up the bar.
Yes.
He's got six red plates on there.
That'd be unbelievable. Eben Etzebeth weight plates would sell like hotcakes. I'd buy them.
you definitely
would. I definitely would buy them.
Get the branded plates. Treat yourself.
Yeah, I'm going to get the branded plates.
You deserve it.
Yeah. I do deserve it, you're right.
Definitely.
Did you anyone see Leicester? I think that's probably game of the weekend. It's brilliant.
Only the highlights. Didn't watch the full game.
So I watched the first half and then the highlights. In the morning...
How did you watch the first half? Did you pay to watch the game?
Premiership TV.
Good. Did you... what's the subscription for that?
It's $4.99 a game, isn't it?
$4.99 per game, or is there an annual or a monthly or whatever?
As far as I'm concerned, it's just $4.99 per game.
Which is an absolute bargain, considering JB pays £120 per game of URC.
Do they not have more than URC on it now on Premier Sport? They have other rugby on there now.
They do. They have... Have they got top 14?
I think they might have top 14 on there now.
Yeah.
As long as they had Nola, my beloved Nola Gold, MLR, then I'd get that.
Just to correct it, I haven't spent that money on Leicester Tigers. They show the full games the next day. I think that's okay. Live, as I understand it.
Okay. But even so, a fiver, if you...
It's worth a fiver. It's worth a fiver. Yeah.
It is worth a fiver.
It's great.
If I had skin in the game and that was my team, I would...
Definitely.
I'd do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to know if you make people resentful, though, isn't it, really?
Well, yeah, I suppose if people are thinking, I've got myself my BT Sport subscription, that was the double-edged sword of the whole lockdown period, because BT, at great expense, went to the trouble of broadcasting
every single game,
some via the red button when they had concurrent kickoffs, but they broadcast every single game, and that was an amazing thing to do. while fans couldn't go. But it also, I did think at the time, this is brilliant, but also this is going to become what the expectation.
Mm. Yeah, well, quite right. But I tell you, another thing...
Well, just on that, you compare it to what football did. And the Premier League, so all the clubs made you put a retainer on your season ticket order, so you started to pay for your season ticket even though you weren't attending the game. And then instead of saying, OK, you're going to be paying £800 this year for your season ticket, but you're not going to watch a game, they broadcast every game, but made you them initially pay £16 per game, as well as the hundreds of pounds that you were paying.
No.
I mean, it shows you the priorities of the football clubs in that scenario.
Right, so. what was I about to say then?
Sorry, so, I cut across you.
Oh, yeah, the other thing the lockdown's done, and we've not recovered from this, and maybe you need to tell your colleagues, I believe that the dress standards... have got too casual in rugby now. It's getting like a joke. We were watching today BT Sport, and the only one who passed the smartness test was Andy Goode.
And he half passed. He did pass it. That was passable.
It was passable. Andy Goode's
a dark shirt.
Yeah. I just think rugby deserves a sense of occasion. Johnny Wilkinson did it yesterday. No tie. It deserves a sense of occasion. Look at the American sports broadcasters. You feel that they are in the most important event the world has ever seen. Like
every game
is the most important thing in the world. The Premier League, everybody wears suit and tie. Everybody, all very, very smart. I think
Clive Woodward does dress up, but he dresses up in a suit from 1994.
I like the suits. Classics.
I'm never the biggest fan of Clive Woodward. I just think he's so infrequently seems to know what's going on and could describe it in a way that I understand. Maybe it's because he's so much smarter and more in tune than I am.
Pretty sure no.
Who knows?
Plus, part of the reason that you're saying that is because Benjamin Kayser wasn't outside in the cold, so he wasn't wearing his yellow gloves. I think he should wear those yellow gloves indoors in the studio.
At all
now
times.
That's a bold style statement.
They are cool. I like
Benjamin. Yeah, is Ben Kayser...
Benjamin Kayser was in a jumper. Craig Doyle was just in a polo shirt.
It was a studio show, so I think you can't have a different format. It's not, if you're on location and you're there, I think there are standards.
The problem with Craig Doyle is he always looks cool, right?
Yeah.
So if it's just Craig Doyle that did it, it'd be passable.
I hope I look that good at 51.
I know.
But that's the point, right? So because Craig Doyle gets away with it because he looks cool, everyone thinks, well, we can do it. No, the rules aren't the same for you. They're not. You know, they're different rules. It's like the same way that Augustin Pichot wears his
white trainers.
Right?
Yeah,
that's fine for Augustin Pichot. The rules are different for him. Yeah. Don't come to a business meeting in Augustin's trainers. You're not going to get Bill Beaumont started wearing
Bill
those.
I knew you were going to mention it. If Bill Beaumont wore those trainers,
it'd be ridiculous. So that's what I'm saying.
He would look like an actual cloud.
Yeah, get your jacket on. You've got to dress, I think. You've got to dress at least the standards of the people in corporate. Imagine you go into corporate.
Mm.
Yeah.
There we go. I've said my piece.
You should dress to the standard of the non-playing players.
That's a good one, yeah. I mean, that's a pretty high standard, though.
That is a high standard.
Really high standard.
I like that, though.
Yeah, make it feel like an event. Because it is an occasion. It's a bloody huge occasion.
Anyway, Leicester. What do you
Leicester.
Make of that?
Awesome.
Nadolo,
awesome. Yeah.
Running some great lines. I loved Arundel, the London Irish fullback. Although I loved him going forward. Although when Nadolo stepped inside him for Nadolo's second try, there's no way on earth he was even going to attempt tackling.
It's so interesting, isn't it, that you know these boys have wanted to play rugby from day dot. So they are professional athletes, and you kind of think maybe a lot of that professionalism and working out might mitigate the fact that massive men exist. And it doesn't. Like I was looking at the Dolo today as he's steaming over people. And I was like, that is not a man in a good shape. You know, he is. I do not seriously think he is working as hard as he could do to be the best athlete that he could be. Doesn't matter.
Maybe he is still pretty explosive. Not quite as explosive as he once was, age 33.
So I made this point, and I made this exact same argument for the entirety of
Bassero's career.
Yeah. And you said, yeah, but imagine if he lost the bad weight and just kept the good weight.
No, Bassero had a lot more bad weight than Nadolo, I think.
I don't know. I mean, Nadolo's taller, so he hides it better. But it's just
the size of him.
He's so strong. People find excuses not to go near him. So he does this little sidestep, and like, nope, and that sidestep sold me. I can't deal with that. I'm a professional athlete.
Thomas Waldrum as well.
Yep. Another one.
Like, an incredible player. He just held it around his face.
It's a fair point. Who was it?
Launchbury looks a little bit poorly at the moment.
He's not played for 18 months, has he?
No, but he does look like he's carrying a bit of timber.
Tight headlock. He can get away with it.
Very tight headlock.
Who was it that went wrong? I think it was the Northampton game where, and I can't remember which, it was either Skozan or Tom Collins. Oh, it might have actually been Hutchinson. Went round
Nadolo
about 15 metres of space where, you're right, if he was 10 kg lighter, he's closing that space down.
He gives Leicester such a great focal point. You know, we were talking, weren't we, about England, they need to get over the game line. The fact that you can get over the gain line cheaply just opens up so many other options.
And the fact that they've got, in a normal game, they've got him, they've got Visa, who was playing this, who is brilliant at getting over the gain line, and Genji, who's great. So you've got multiple options.
Did you see the hit on Visa?
Yes, the Tuisui.
Brutal.
Tuisui hit.
Yeah, so I couldn't believe, Tuisui looks like he melts him. Not actually the case, because it's Curtis Rona coming over the top, and when you watch again you think that is I think the red card for Yules this week was just the most annoying sort of it's got to be a red card. That's a red card.
Yeah,
that is what it's for. You can't do that.
So the Yules one, I'm okay with that being a red card. Generally now we're at a level where 90% of those are given as red cards. Yeah. I would also actually be okay if you said that is an accident. So no player intends to hit their head against someone else's head.
Yeah.
That's every time it's an accident. We'll call it as a rugby incident. Now, I would be okay with that. I understand the argument that you want to make the game safer and drop the tackler height. But I'd be okay either way. Just as long as we're consistent, I don't really mind which one it is.
Yeah.
I understand the way that they've gone, so I'm fine with that.
But Curtis Rona should be a red card in every single in every single format of the game that's ever been played.
At any time.
Yeah, any time.
1904. You can't do that.
Yeah. Playing on the Somme. That's still a red card. I'm surprised it wasn't a double red card, actually. I'm waiting for that, because it can't be long. Usually, if two players hit high, only one of them walks for it. It can't be long till we get a double red card.
Here's an interesting one. So JB and I were watching the game this afternoon. And Umaga scores his try, drops the ball over the line, doesn't get spotted until 5 minutes later. So we were talking about that and saying there should be an honesty rule in the Premiership, where if you do something like that, if you don't own up, that's fine, you get the try. But if you don't own up and you get caught, you get a 5-week ban for being dishonest. Because he should have legitimately said to Wayne Barnes, Barnsley, I'm sorry, it's no try. I knocked the ball.
Or you really should check that, because I think I might have gone down, but...
Don't give yourself up and say, you should check that, sir.
You should check that, yeah. And I like that, because it then becomes a trade-off as well, that if you've got a must-win game to get into the playoffs, you could win the game, but then you're out for the next 5 weeks.
Yeah. So, the reason this would work even better, right, is the honesty rule would work something like, did you score that try? You're allowed to say, I don't know, but you're not allowed to celebrate. So, do you know when they put the ball down? Yes! I got the try! Did you get that try? Don't know. Well, why are you celebrating? Sounds a bit fishy.
Some of the celebrations are ludicrous when you're like, he's definitely dropped that. Yes! That was such an amazing try. No need to check it.
Did it come about because Northampton got their try?
Well, Northampton had three. They had two tries. They had two tries disallowed correctly, and then they had one try given, the winning try ultimately given, I think, incorrectly.
Mm.
I think there was sufficient evidence from one of those angles to overturn that try.
I think I'd have overturned it.
I think I agree with that.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Just back to Leicester. I am convinced now, right? I am convinced that Leicester, the best way forward for them is to get Andre Pollard. Admit he might not be the talent they need, but play him at 12 because he doesn't have a pair of hands. Freddie Burns does. He's leading his team to great things again. That is the two. Rather than Pollard.
What happens to Dan Kelly?
Good point. And Dan Kelly's got his hands full because, of course, not just Dan Kelly, it's Gopeth as well.
Mm.
So Gopeth is knocking about. I mean, there'll be enough to go around, but I think the midfield axis should be Pollard and Burns.
Mm.
I think that'd be awesome.
Well, Burns, current Premiership Player of the Month.
Is he?
He's having a great time of it.
He's a great signing for Leicester.
And Leicester are 22 points ahead of fifth place.
Yeah.
They're pretty safe then.
That is just awesome.
With five games to go as well.
And we have got, really, it looks like, I mean, it's not beyond the realms of possibility that Harlequins drop out, but it looks like with the results going their way, they will occupy a top four spot.
Harlequins got Sale soon, haven't they?
Well, Harlequins have got four consecutive bonus point wins as well.
Yeah.
So they're on the right trajectory. And they've done most of that missing their England lads.
Yeah, and it also looks like Northampton, despite the win and having a game in hand, fourth place is looking a stretch. So, but even if you don't include Northampton, which Saints fans might think's unfair, it's basically four teams in a bun fight for fourth spot.
Look at London Irish's running though.
Yeah, but a huge game. I think one of the games of the season, and I've been talking about this date for weeks, months, even April 3rd at the Brentford Stadium. First time in that new stadium. Not the first time in that new stadium of those two teams, but with high stakes. London Irish Quins.
Yeah.
Mass. Absolutely mass. I'm going to try and get to that game because it is huge.
Yeah, they lost, right? But they still scored 27 points or something?
Yeah, they got a bonus point.
Yeah, they got one bonus point. Try scoring bonus point.
Right, so, you know, you've got to score a lot of points to beat them. And they don't ever seem to be dead. I really think that they are... I think they're going to go top four. I think Exeter will drop out.
Oh, they didn't get any bonus points.
Did they not score four tries?
No, only three tries.
Really? I thought they scored four.
Yeah.
Okay. My mistake.
Yeah.
But there's some huge games coming up. There was one at the weekend just gone. Sale Gloucester.
That is important.
That was big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it made Exeter missing out on the win less costly because Gloucester obviously also didn't get the win.
I don't see Sale making it. You know.
But it positions Sale quite nicely.
It does position them nicely.
I hope I'm wrong, but I just don't see them making the playoffs.
I don't think they will either.
I was watching this game, and I was thinking, yeah, the Dupree's all handy, and the commentators say, oh, you know, these Dupree's worth their weight in gold. It's like, yes, they are when they're on the front foot, but then they're absolutely not when they can't impose their will.
They're going backwards or they're trying to offload out the back door and throwing it to the floor.
It's either all or nothing. I don't know. Sale had some remarkable results at home. Beating Leicester. Did they beat Exeter? I think they did.
The Leicester one, did you say?
Yeah, Leicester. Yeah. And they've also beaten Gloucester at home. So the teams around them, you know, they... And Harlequins. And that's when they weren't even playing well. Mm. So at home, they are a real force.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll have enough. But then when you get to the playoffs and it gets really physical, like you found out against Exeter, I don't know if their style of play is going to be good enough.
They got Bath away, Saracens at home, Newcastle at home.
Bath away, win.
Yeah.
Saracens away.
Saracens at home.
Oh, Saracens at home. Now, that is
that's tight.
Yeah, they'll get a few points out of that. They'll get at least 2 points out of that.
Okay, so that one is the one we're going to have to watch because...
Yeah, that's a huge game as well. Saracens. That same weekend, that first weekend in April, Friday night, Sale Saracens, massive.
Yeah.
Saturday or Sunday, London Irish, Quins, massive.
Yeah, so Saracens, the Saracens game at the Allianz, Stonehenge, or whatever it is now, they absolutely handled Sale. They handled Sale in exactly the way that Sale handle a lot of other teams, and they hated it. Now, if they lose that game against Saracens at the AJ Bell, I think that's them done. Not because they might not make it in the top four, but because psychologically they know when they come up against a big physical team like Exeter did to them in the playoffs and the game before the playoff and then Saracens did to them this year, they just don't stand up well. Mm. La Rochelle is another example. So
yeah, the La Rochelle manhandling of Sale last in the quarterfinal or last 16.
No, not physically, emotionally.
It was everything.
I was
entirely emotional.
I was reliably informed it was just emotional.
Entirely emotional. No, the manhandling.
Yeah.
It was everything.
Yes, it really was.
So, the Gloucester defeat puts them in a precarious position, albeit they still have a game in hand and are, 2 points behind fourth place.
Mm.
But they were looking much more comfortable than that not so long ago. Their fixtures, however, are Worcester at home. She would imagine they would win.
Yeah.
Wasps at home.
Yep, they'll win that.
Bath at home. Home games for Gloucester.
And Bristol away, which they can win that.
Oh, yeah, of course.
That's four.
Oh, yeah, of course. They've got an extra game, 18 they've played, yeah.
That's four bonus points. Whether it's a bonus point win or bonus point loss against Bristol, I don't know. But there's a bonus point there as well.
I think Gloucester are favourites for fourth place, comfortably. Not comfortably, but I think they are clear favourites because of their three home games, winnable games, and the game in hand.
I completely agree with you, Tim. Yeah, because if you add 5 points to their total, they're in fourth.
Yeah,
I agree. I think they're the.
But it's, I love the fact it's going down to the wire.
Yeah,
well, goodness knows we needed something to get excited about.
Without
the bottom of the table. Because how much would we be talking about? Oh my word, Bristol could get dragged into it. Relegation. Bath, Newcastle, Worcester. So exciting.
I went round to Phil's for lunch today, and the words that came straight out of my mouth were, "Can't wait to watch Bath today."
And
I could not wait. I've been looking forward to watching Bath all weekend, not playing.
You went round for lunch. What did he make you?
Oh, what did you make me, Phil?
I did barn me with pork belly.
Oh, outstanding.
So,
do you know what that
Vietnamese salad?
Do you know what that is? I would never know that.
I've ordered that in a restaurant before, but
it's one of my favourite meals. Mm. The pork belly was all right, wasn't it?
Yes, I ate quite a lot of it.
I should have. We got through a kilo and a half of pork belly. Oh. I wish I'd done 2 kilos.
Yeah, I had to run. I finished that and I went and ran 12K.
Yeah,
just to make sure that I'm on an even keel.
Pork belly is such an underrated
underrated by who? Who underrates pork belly?
Well, clearly
it's cheap.
If it was supply and demand, it's cheap.
Oh yeah, no one underrates pork. Not people that know.
Yeah, when you know pork belly, it turned out really well
today. Awesome. I loved it.
Marinated overnight, and then had fresh baguettes, pate on one half. I made homemade Vietnamese sambal. Had some homemade pickles and some Vietnamese salad as well.
How the other half live, eh?
Turned out all right.
Yeah.
And we had a couple of glasses of wine as well before your run.
Let's get it done, though.
Although I did
was the run always planned, or was the run guilt? Right, I've just eaten all that. I need to go for a run.
Because I'm a CrossFit loser now, Sundays is always base building day for me. My slow running day, just for base fitness.
I also, to be fair, I had a couple of glasses of wine at lunch and then did a gym session this evening as well, which I never, ever normally do.
I don't know if it's just a current phase or if it's been around for a while and I just haven't noticed it, but that lower heart rate sustained intensity is very in vogue at the minute, isn't it?
Yeah, MAF is one of MAF, which would be 180 minus your age to do for extended periods of time.
So the reason I know about this is because a friend of mine is... I don't like doing the thinking behind fitness. I just like to ask other people and get them to tell me what to do. But that's exactly where it's come from. A friend of mine said, this is what you need to do. Mm. But my younger brother was training for a triathlon, and if he hadn't broken his arm skiing, he'd be doing them. And that's exactly what he was looking to do, which is run at a low heart rate, but continually quicker.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
So if you can hold, let's just say 140, but and you want to, over weeks, 140 at 5 minute 30 pace, 140 at 5:20 pace, 140 at 5:10 pace, and so on and so forth.
I like the sound of that, because there's a lot of, and this is the, again, just this is the last time I mentioned the C word. but the one thing about CrossFit is quite often it does just encourage you and celebrate people redlining and going,
as it should do,
to maximum every time, which can't be good for you.
I don't think it is good for you. I think there's times for that, but doing it all the time, only redlining things, I'm not sure. But that is how I kind of have trained for a lot of my life. But I think you're actually better, be more consistent. Greasing the groove, the saying goes.
I've got a small quiz.
Ooh, yes, please.
Interesting.
Do we need to write anything down?
No, not really. I don't even know how we're going to score it. In fact, I don't know if we are going to score it. I'm not even sure it's really a quiz. So
that right there, if there's any sentence that is more JB, just please let me know.
Find it for you, boys.
I think in the last podcast, I am 1,000,000% certain.
Yeah,
England won that game. Oh, actually, maybe they lost. Oh yeah, they lost.
Here we go. So you might have heard me whinging the other day about how pious certain people are in rugby. So,
have you been on Twitter again, JB?
Yeah. So I pulled up a list of things which the Dragons do. So Newport Gwent Dragons, right? At DRA_community have put out a list of things that the Dragons do. There is 18 different things the Dragons do. I'm going to read out bit by bit what these things are, and we've got to guess exactly what do the Dragons do. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
So they've got little badges, right? And the little badges there.
Yeah.
Okay, so Dragons delivery.
Do you know
passing, scrum half, coaching the scrum halves to pass.
By the way, I have no idea what these things do. I just want to know if you guys.
Dragons delivery.
I'm guessing that's giving meals to vulnerable people.
I have no idea. Is it delivering community projects?
Or is it...
Well, just fulfilling orders from the club shop.
Yeah, maybe. I've got no idea. I think the owner owns Just Eat. Maybe it's delivering. I literally do not know what that is, but they've said they're very proud of it. Okay, Dragons community outreach.
That's fair. Okay, that's going into schools, clubs. Fine.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Yeah. So we've got that. Okay. Dragons autistic support.
Well, I guess I know what it does.
I know what it does. Okay. This is one, and you shouldn't laugh, should you? But you'd imagine being a Dragons fan for any length of time, Dragons mental health might be fairly important. I don't understand, right, how organisations like this get to actually just put mental... any other... It would never be cancer health, would it? Or heart health? But because it's mental health, they're allowed to do basically whatever they want. So Dragons mental health... I'm not entirely sure who benefits from that, who the beneficiaries are, or what services that they have, but there we go.
Well, the fans might need it, given that they've won one in 10 games this season.
I guess Dragons mental health involves not watching past seasons of the Dragons. Never watch old Dragons games. Dragons match day. Any idea what that does? Why is that different to the Dragons?
Not win.
Yeah, isn't Dragons match day literally what the Dragons should be doing?
Selling tickets,
match day. Dragons communities can.
How's that different to the outreach?
Don't know, but this is three people holding cogs. Okay, here you go. Dragons education. Any idea? Any idea what Dragons education do? I mean,
no.
I don't get how in a world where Trump University is frowned upon, Dragons education is okay. Is it not the same principle? All right, here's one for you. Tony Brown Beasley's Dragons Gateway Rugby 20. No?
Sounds like a terrible computer game.
This is one which is fairly rich. Dragons Sporting Memories.
No.
No, that's literally the last thing you want.
So what? These are little shields that they've got.
Who
for
knows
these
what
things.
They are?
And it's the dragon's family of provisions.
Yeah. I think what this is the dragon's not concentrating on being a rugby club where they've won all of, what, one game in this entire season?
Won one and drawn one this season.
Yeah. And instead, running around with the council chasing grants. This is the only thing this can be. Okay, let's have a look at this. Dragons active together for the 75 plus. Dragons, military veterans support. I mean, all of these things are worthwhile doing. But it's not the job of your rugby club, is it? Dragons Equality. I knew that one would pop up. Dragons Wheelchair Rugby. So far, that's the only one worth...
That's got a direct... you say it's not the job of your... It's not the job of your rugby club. Or a lot of these things happen through rugby clubs.
Well, Dragons...
At all levels and all the things, but I guess what you're saying is...
Dragons additional needs support. What? Dragons All-Stars, by the way. Dragons All-Stars. I would hate to see that team. who do they play? Aroni All-Stars? Borders All-Stars? What a classic. Dragons Phoenix? No idea. Dragons Walking Rugby? Effectively, that might be the same as the actual Dragons.
That's the first team.
Yeah, that's the first team. And then Dragons Skill Camps. I'm telling you now, there's one team I'm not paying for skills. What goes on at that club, I will never, ever know. And they are at the foot of the table with one win.
I guess the difference
what
being...
What a waste of time.
The difference being, if Leicester Tigers had come up and said, look at all these things we're doing.
I would smash them.
Amazing.
No, you wouldn't. No, you would not.
No, because they're top of the table and they're doing all the fundamentals perfectly.
I would say, look,
they've got 20,000 people turning up for their games.
300,000 people turning up. That's great. They're doing well. I would still question what they've got to tell me about my mental health. Why do I need to go to Leicester Tigers for education? Like, who do they think they are? It's so annoying.
Well, Leicester would be an interesting case study because Leicester Tigers always sold out Welford Road. And then after about 2014, when they stopped winning games and started playing poorly, you started noticing more and more empty seats time and time again. And then it's probably half full for a few years.
Fickle, that's what you're saying, isn't it, Phil? Fickle, yeah. Leicester fans. Well,
not accusing Leicester fans of being anything. It's just an interesting, almost experiment. I'd like to see the correlation between proportion of tickets consistently sold over a season, so the percentage of the seats that are occupied throughout the season and the results of that team. I imagine there is probably a strong correlation.
Don't doubt it.
So the better the team is, the more good you can do, I guess, would be the point that
Dragon Sporting Memories. Like, who runs that? Is there a director of Sporting Memories? Does he catalogue them, or does she catalogue them?
Are you looking for a job?
I suspect that's probably what it is. They've made a badge and a whole section out of the bloke at the rugby club who just makes a note of all the stats and records.
I mean, but it doesn't deserve a badge. Does it deserve a badge? What is it, an official club arm?
Yeah, I know. It just when you look at that, you just think, oh my god, I don't want to be at one of their bloody AGMs because it will be gone for about 7 days.
Is it a separate company?
The warring factions.
Yeah.
Of the community outreach versus Dragons Deliveries.
I was talking to an ex-CEO of a rugby club. He's saying, you start with the best of intentions. It happens a lot in rugby league. Like, you just want to go out and talk to the community and fill up your stadium, and you end up facilitating, like, Leeds Rhino dance classes and, you know, just things which are completely unrelated to the rugby club just because the council give you some cash. And to me, I mean, it just looks so stupid, doesn't it? You've won one game! One game, and you want to educate me. You want to send me on a skills camp? A skills camp?
That's council... you just think that's all council cash?
It must be, mustn't it? Yeah. It must be. I notice I've not got anything for dyslexics here. Maybe they hate us. Or speech impediments. Must hate us.
Why don't you write to them and see what they're going to do for you?
No, because I'll end up with a badge. I'll end up with a badge of being head of Dragon Speech Impediments.
Oh, dear. What other rugby did you see? Northampton was today.
A good game, wasn't it?
It was a good game.
It was a good game. I don't think either team played that well. There were some nice moments. Northampton, I was sure Northampton were going to do the most Northamptony thing and throw it away. When there was the Waller, the try for, disallowed for Waller pushing Robson, and then the crossing try with Furbank, and then is the other one, the one that was given that shouldn't have been given with a knock on. I was sure this was going to be Northampton throw it away and Wasps come back, but they held on.
What are our views on Jacob Umanga?
He had some nice moments. Overall, I don't particularly rate him. I'm not sure he's justified his position because he's been in the England squad.
I'm not sure he's getting back in it anytime soon. I think he's an interesting one because I don't think he's really kicked on since the time he played in the final. I mean, he had that really good season and he moved. Maybe it says more about Sopawanga that he plays 10.
Or played 10 when Sopawanga was still there.
I do remember after he, you know, was precociously talented, got in the England squad, and then he had a rough patch, and I remember him citing trolls online.
Yeah, I do remember that actually.
Which I remember at the time thinking, just turn it off, mate.
Well,
just don't go on it.
I think he kind of did.
I think he did.
Which I remember thinking, good on you. Like, I identify it, and. Just get rid of it.
It must be very hard, isn't it? As a 19-year-old just coming through and everyone tells you you're brilliant to find then, a whole body of work saying you're terrible.
Yeah. He had some great touches. His kick and chase and receive for, I think it was the Dogger's try in the corner. That was really nice.
Yeah.
And he finished his try, except the actual finish. He finished his try very nicely.
I think it's the inconsistency with him. And also, I don't think competing with Charlie Atkinson particularly helps because Charlie Atkinson seems to be the real deal. I think he's very good.
I do like Atkinson. Umaga's
number one. They've been slotting him in at 15 as well, which he seems to slot in there quite. And actually, he has a bit more time and space, and he's loose in a good way. He sees things other people don't.
The one that got me was the wraparound for Dan Robson. Because Dan Robson's coming around.
Oh, off the back of a scrum.
Yeah, it's like, just take it, Dan. Just please God, take it.
What other Wasps youngster came through, fly half, precociously talented, all the skills, saw things that other people didn't, and could slot in at 15?
Sippers. Lazelski?
Sippers.
Oh.
He's got a lot of sippers about him.
I hope not.
I'm not sure he's got the high-end sippers. When Sippers was playing his best rugby... Yeah. He was.
And also, you
amazing.
Remember, Sippers was, I don't know if he still is, he's a bit of a different build now, but he was meant to be the fastest guy at Wasps.
He was absolutely the fastest. Well, he had a couple of bad injuries, a really bad ankle injury.
What was I going to say then? I thought you were going to say Lazowski. Mark Atkinson, although 10 gone 12.
Didn't really come through at Wasps.
No, he didn't. No, he nearly had his career ruined at Wasps, to be fair. Sale Wasp Bedford.
Sale Sedgley.
Sedgley.
Wasp Don't forget Bedford. Sedgley.
Yeah, of course.
The players that will come through Sedgley.
Incredible.
European Cup winner Petrus Duplessis.
Para.
And Phil.
And Phil.
Yeah.
That's it.
And Mark Atkinson.
Tim Molnar.
Did he come through Sedgley? No. That was Nottingham.
In Nottingham, you're right. Yeah.
Big Luth.
Loads of them.
Yeah.
Really good game. Enjoyed it. Northampton are frail. Really frail. But they managed to win.
They did win. Good performance from Ribbons, who played well.
Yeah.
The game on his 100th.
They had a little phase just as Waller got their try disallowed where I think I see what they want to become, which is just rampaging forwards, offloading, and then.
And then you create backs. The space for the backs.
I don't think Premiership teams are going to allow you to do that. I saw a little bit of that, actually, to be fair to them, against Gloucester. So Gloucester's much vaunted defence, rightly so. Really struggled with them when they...
When they were opening out.
Speed things up.
Yeah.
I tell you who I think is a very, very good player and needs to be looked at in detail by England is Mitchell.
Yeah, so he's been in a couple of camps.
He was in the squad.
Yeah.
I think they need further looks at him.
I'm whatever Eddie Jones is looking for in scrum halves, I don't understand it.
No,
I've never really understood Ben Youngs, but that goes back way before Eddie. Randall, I mean, if I watched quite a lot of Bristol last year when Randall was injured for a lot of it, if I was picking a Bristol scrum half, I'd be picking Andy Urin.
100%.
I really like, he's very good. Good all round. He's strong. He runs well when he gets open space. His kicking game is on point. I just think he's a better all round player. It comes back to the thin slicing. Yeah. If you look at the highlight reel, the top end highlight reel of Randall will be better than Urin. The consistency from Urin is better for me.
But on that, I'm not going to go over on about Danny Kerr.
Yeah,
but yeah, just, you're
I would,
right.
I'd go for
bored
yeah.
of saying the same
Kerr
thing.
Kerr is the best scrum half in the Premiership.
What is he looking for? Right,
that's my.
So if
point.
It's about someone who talks a lot, I mean, I'm sure he talks loads. I'm sure he talks absolutely loads. So does Mitchell. Mitchell's so chopsy.
Yeah,
Danny Kerr is so chopsy. But then you've got the lads who might not talk as much. I think we can accept that they don't now. In Ben Spencer.
Spencer.
Who,
yeah.
Of course, he's got the personal issues with Owen Farrell.
Owen Farrell hates him.
And Dan Robson.
Yeah.
I mean, both those two, I think, are more talented than probably, not probably Danny Kerr, but certainly Ben Youngs, but they don't have the verbals. Mm. So is he looking for the verbals? What is it? Because I don't see where Youngs is clearly better than all of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
He's better than him in certain areas.
Yeah.
It's a black hole you're just disappearing into, a little...
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah, absolutely. Right.
Going down that scrum half conversation, I don't get it.
I just don't understand it.
Yeah.
But I kind of know now that I will not understand it.
And they must...
Wigglesworth. Why not Wigglesworth?
Yeah.
Do you know what? I'm going to read out this email from Ed Pritchard. He's one of our American listeners. We have a lot of them. And he's from Lancaster... Pennsylvania.
Oh, nice.
It's Lancaster, but that's how they pronounce it over there.
Lancaster. Yeah.
And he coaches the Lancaster Roses Rugby Club. A men's team. He says he's originally from Kent and played against Tonbridge Juddians frequently for Maidstone before they marched up the leagues.
Nice.
If you ever want an update on the Mid-Atlantic Conference Division 2, then he's our guy.
Yes, please.
We were literally saying this today over lunch, weren't we? Yeah. What happens in Mid-Atlantic
Conference?
What will take our podcast to the next level is coverage of the Mid-Atlantic Conference Division 2. So thank you very much. He said, I was sad to hear about Ealing, Doncaster, Cornish Pirates, etc. losing their bid for promotion. Would there be any value in them being added to the URC? The rumour is London Scottish are heading there.
Hmm. Interesting.
Or heading towards the Scottish model, but an interesting point.
It's a point that JB's made in the past on the academies having free reign to select any player you want if you set up an academy that is not governed by the RFU and Premiership rules. There is a potential advantage in there.
Yeah.
Not just for that club alone, there could be an advantage to England having more English players in English qualified players playing in, I'll use the term, high level competition
without a salary cap.
Yeah, high level competition without a salary cap, because the top end of the URC, which I always want to say Ultimate Rugby Championship, and it's not, it's United Rugby Championship, the top end of that is a seriously good competition with seriously
awesome.
Good teams when they put their best teams out. Like the Ulster Leinster game this weekend, which is a great win for Ulster. I mean, Leinster are missing 15 players, so it's not the fixture you want it to be.
No, 100%. I'm just going to finish this from Ed.
Okay.
He says because this again, another offer for this summer. He got a couple of offers. He says if you're ever looking for a game in the Philadelphia Central Pennsylvania or New Jersey area,
yes,
feel free to hit me up. We have a touring side called, wait for it, what a name, I want to play for this team. I mean, so Bayonne Bombers,
yeah,
in New Jersey, you've played for them.
Played for them.
You've
that.
Got the jersey in the dungeon.
Yeah,
coolest logo
going.
Where is it?
I wonder what the logo is for this side, the Amish Assassins.
Wow.
Which way round is that statement?
Are they Amish who assassinate people, or do they assassinate Amish?
Because that's a team that plays tournaments regularly, so we've got
awesome.
An offer there. And another offer, it says also, check out the Can-Am Rugby Tournament in Saranac Lake, New York. A huge tournament with different competitive levels that takes place in July every year. You can rock up, play for multiple teams, all in the backdrop of Lake Placid.
Amazing.
Awesome.
Nice one, Ed.
Hey, I'm going to read you a tweet. A tweet now, not rugby related, but it's kind of related to this because it's American. These past 2 months...
No, in the mic.
These past... This is breaking now, so I just want your your reaction to this breaking news. It's not breaking to anyone who's listening to this. These past 2 months, I've realised my place is still on the field and not in the stands. That time will come, but not now. I love my teammates. I love my supportive family. They make it all possible. I'm coming back for my 23rd season in Tampa.
Tom Brady!
Unfinished business! Yes!
Brady's yes! back! It was the visit to Manchester.
Thank God!
Visit to Manchester, which...
Wow! We can all still dream.
Tom Brady's back with the Bucks.
Back with the Bucks.
Oh!
Oh! Oh, I feel so much happier about life.
Incredible. He's keeping the dream alive for all of us. Approaching our middle age, or in middle age.
Yeah. Right smack bang in middle age.
Yeah. We can still do it. We can still be elite.
Come on, you can win at least two more, can't you?
Yeah. Oh, that's brilliant news.
Anything in the Premiership that we've not covered? Caden Murley again proving his dominance over Lewis Lynah with two tries.
Yeah.
Does anyone disagree now that Caden Murley's clearly the best?
He's looking the business.
So apparently, he isn't the best or the most exciting talent at Harlequins. And neither is Lewis Lynah.
Neither is Nick David. Tyrone Green.
Not Tyrone Green.
Are we talking back three here?
Back, outside back.
Luke Northmore.
Not Luke Northmore.
Joe Marchant.
Not Joe Marchant.
Who else has played in there?
They really rate this guy.
Oh, the young lad who was playing the other week. Oh, I can't remember his name.
Beard.
Yes, that's the one.
Not Adam Beard. The other Beard.
Oscar Beard. Oscar Beard, apparently, is the real deal.
Oscar Beard.
Yeah.
Hmm. They've got some talent in that back three. Yeah, I mean, Nick David... maybe a bold call to... go and try and force you in there. I mean, I really rate Nick David. I think he's such an elegant runner, but
well, they can't keep them all, can they?
Yeah, they can't.
It sounds like Simon Hammersley might be on the way out of Sale. Mm. Apparently, they've offered him a contract according to Rugby Paper, and I don't know if he's taken it up or not. It doesn't sound like the most attractive contract, but they do need a fullback. They need another option. Go and raid Quinns, and one of those boys must be up for renewal, and they're worth a lot of money, surely. Mm,
there's some talent there, EQP.
Bristol, I imagine being in that dressing room. They just cannot wait for the season to end, can they?
They signed someone the other day, didn't they? Who was it?
Bristol, they signed
Scottish fella.
Magnus Bradbury.
Yeah, it's decent. I don't know how that sort of works, how he's found his way to Bristol, because...
Well, Nathan Hughes is leaving, that's why.
Yeah, but the way Bristol sign players, they usually have an existing link, don't they? So AJ McGinty played for Pat Lamb, or you know, he's got some links with Semi, or he's got some links somewhere else. But this one seems to be completely out of the blue.
Yeah, Genji, there was obviously the Bristol link.
Yeah.
Didn't really have a link with Sinks. Unless they've got the same breathing coach.
Yeah, they could well do.
What are they called again?
Save Your World,
that's it.
How did you get the most important people in rugby? Save Your World.
Saracens had a good win on the road against Newcastle. Newcastle not getting a single point, although they scored three tries.
There's something very wrong in Newcastle.
Yeah.
There's something very, very wrong.
Yeah. Not great. Not great.
Mike Brown leaving, talking about fullbacks. I'd like Sale to go for Mike Brown. I think he'd be awesome at Sale for one more year.
I still think he's got another good year left in him.
Tom Brady's got another couple of years, age 43.
44.
Mike Brown's got another year.
Yeah, one more year.
Yeah, 100%. And there's no Premiership fixtures this weekend, is there?
Nope. So we've got free reign in Portugal to do whatever we want.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's why JB wanted to go abroad in that particular week when there was no Premiership action that could be interfered with.
Although I am missing one very, very important game.
Tockage.
Oldham week.
Oh,
but
that's why you've planned it. Yeah. I heard the stick they gave you last time.
Podcast that.
So, I'm glad to be missing Oldham week. I'm not interested.
Oh, do you know what, like, young kid level, like teenage level, you just, there are just the odd player that you just go, oh, what a player. We Raffy Quirk's Broughton Park, under 14s, went down narrowly to Macclesfield, who are one of the best sides I've seen at that.
Yeah, they've got a really good set of family stops.
Seriously good. 5-0, Macclesfield won. Not as in 5 points, just one try to nil. Just defensive slugfest all day, but they're 10. Oh, my word. Proper mustard. Mm. So, yeah, I love it.
Tell me about the Sale Academy player that I played against a few weeks ago. So I was playing second team rugby because I don't think the first team were playing. They mustn't have been. And I came off the bench, I think, maybe, for the second team in Warrington. And there's this kid who also came off the bench about similar time to me. And basically was the difference between the two teams. Just scored two tries immediately from the flank. Was he flank? Yeah, off the flank. And apparently he's a Sale Sharks Academy winger. No, Academy hooker, sorry. That's his first ever game of adult rugby. Ripped this to pieces.
Nice. Just
gone.
Awesome.
Wow. Yeah, so watch out. I can't remember his name now, but I will find out his name again. I'll be watching out for him.
Mm.
Lovely stuff. Right, we done?
I think so.
I think we're done.
Time for me to go and lie down.
Yeah.
Maybe have one more barn me.
Ooh, we should do.
You're not on a train in 7 hours then?
Yeah, not long until the train, but I do fancy one more barn me.
We finished
before midnight, which would normally put me on a train about 6 hours' time.
Oh, well, enjoy your extra hour lying, Phil.
Yes, big lying.
Right, thank you for listening, subscribing, supporting, all that normal stuff. You know what you're doing. You know what to go and do. Let the boys play.
Let's play.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.